All right, I think we'll go ahead and get started. First of all, just want to say thank you guys so much for coming to the conference. The conference is one of my favorite times of the year. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Scott Billings. I'm one of the assistant pastors on staff at Calvary Tucson. So I am the media director for both of our campuses, and I'm also the East Campus High School pastor. And so I've been doing youth ministry and media for a while. And just to give you a quick background about just me really quick, and then we'll get on to the content. My goal is to have this presentation be short, as in like 15 minutes short, because questions is really where I think it's going to be most productive. And I don't want to do death by PowerPoint. That is not my intent. We are not going to do that today. It's no fun. It's bad. So we're not going to do that. So just a little bit about me. I'm in my 30s. I am a millennial, and that's not a dirty word. That's okay. And I grew up in Tucson. I came to this church in high school back in 98, before we were even in this building or the building next door. And I've just grown up here just at Calvary Tucson and learned ministry. I cut my teeth on ministry, got trained and mentored by lots of people. And this man over here, Donnie, he was one of my youth pastors when I was in high school. So that's crazy to think about. Then I went to the U of A, I got my electrical engineering degree. And all the time I was volunteering in youth ministry and doing teaching and worship. And with worship comes that media component automatically. For those of you that do worship, you understand what I'm talking about. And I just started growing in that. Then I worked at Raytheon, which is a missile defense company, for 10 years making bombs that kill people and destroy things. And then 10 years of that, and then God said, it's time for you to do something else. And I'm here. And so that's my story. I have a wife and three beautiful kids. They're awesome, but pray for them. They are all sick right now. So pray for them for sure.
You should say you have a beautiful wife too.
I have a beautiful wife. Yes, she's awesome. She's awesome. So just to give you guys some background too, my wife is a lawyer and I was an engineer. And in 2014, I've been on staff for going on 5 years. In 2014, we went from engineer and lawyer to pastor and stay-at-home mom in the same year. And I would not trade it for the world. Like, no joke, I would not trade it for the world. So that's just me in a nutshell. And I'm just really blessed to be here sharing with you guys. I'm privileged to be sharing with you guys. This presentation is geared for not so much the what I would call the multi-million dollar setups, because very few people can afford multi-million dollar setups. This presentation is really going to be geared for churches that are in the 100 to 250 range. So if you want to talk shop, you know, going beyond that, be more than happy to talk shop. But this presentation is definitely geared more for, hey, like we don't have a lot of money. What can we do? Like, what can we do to use media for the furtherance of the gospel? So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would bless all of these people here that are interested in using technology for the furtherance of the gospel. I pray that you would encourage them, that you would refresh them at this conference. I also pray that you would inspire us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, there's a lot of creativity you invented creativity. And so we look to you for those things. We pray that we would be good and useful servants. And Lord, I thank you for every single person here. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't worry about taking notes if you don't want to. This presentation is available at calvarytucson.com/breakout. So if you just go there, you can even follow along if you want. calvarytucson.com/breakout. Now, just a couple of funny yucks. I love memes because I'm also a youth pastor. So there's a little bit of that in there. So there's one. You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys know what I'm talking about. Or this one for you pro presenter techies. It just happens. Yeah. Or this one. So, you know, this happened to me actually 6 months ago when we got our camera upgrades. I was like, what? This is great. So, and then this one. This is great. And yeah, you're like, oh, easy worship is gone. Pro Presenter is where it's at. But here's the vision for media. Media is simply medium. And what it does, it carries the message. So whether that's the teaching, whether that's the biblical message, whether that's the worship, whatever it is, it simply is how it's transmitted or how it's carried. And the two verses that are sections of scripture that really drive our vision is Romans 10, 14 through 15. And it's that passage where it says, how will they hear without a preacher? And here in this facility, you literally cannot hear someone unless they have a booming voice on stage. So you need what? You need sound amplification. How do you reach the gospel, send the gospel to people that are not in the four walls of your church? That's where social media and your online presence comes into play. And so media is simply the medium by which we carry the gospel. And it's really cool. And then also the Great Commission in Matthew 28. You guys know the Great Commission. He's like, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, et cetera, et cetera. See, media is a very powerful tool. And in the last, I would say, 50 years, technology has changed more in the last 50 years than it has in the history of mankind. And if you as a church are discouraged because you feel like you can't keep up, I just want to encourage you, there has never been another time like this in the history of mankind. So it's no wonder that we struggle, right? It's no wonder that we struggle with a lot of these things. But the Bible says that we can use these different tools and we can use these different things. We can our assistant pastor, our executive pastor Troy likes to say, we redeem the technology for the sake of the gospel, which is really, really awesome. And then also with media, there comes the creative side. And I love this in Exodus 33, where it says, they're talking about the tabernacle and building those things. It says, see, the Lord has this dude, and I'm not going to pronounce them, this dude, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, has filled with him the spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. Artistic and workmanship is repeated. And this is the awesome thing about media. It's not just necessarily technical. There is also an artistic side to this. And I'll be honest, like there is a lot of art that is subjective. And that's okay. That's what makes it art. Now there is some objectivity, right? There is some objectivity to it. But it really is subjective. And it really depends on what are you making the art for? And what's the heart behind it? What are you trying to communicate? What are you trying to communicate? We went back to this whole idea of vision. And this is what I like to say. We use the available tools and technology for the building up of the church and reaching the unbeliever for Christ. It's twofold. It's ministering to the church and reaching the unbeliever for Christ. And media ministry is a deacon type ministry because deacons meet the physical needs of the church. And so I like to think media ministry as a whole group of deacons that are ministering to the physical needs of the church. You can't see the pastor necessarily in a big facility without the use of projector screens or the worship lyrics. The Pro Presenter person helps meet the physical need for the eye to see or to hear. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how we are able to minister to people. It's the physical needs of the church in a spiritual way. It's very cool. Very, very cool. Now, here's the different mediums throughout history. Scrolls. For lots of years. Then there was the printing press. Then there was audio, which amazingly, audio has been a huge mainstay in 100 years. I mean, think about it. Like, we still listen to podcasts. You know, we still do those kind of things. That's pretty crazy. Video, and then obviously the internet and social media. And the medium for communication is changing extremely rapidly. It's changing extremely, extremely fast. Here's some quick statistics by how, like, where our people are. Because media is, you want to engage where people are at. You want to see where they're going and what they're doing, and so that you and I can be effective. So the most widely used networks, obviously Facebook is huge. There's over 2 billion people on Facebook. That's crazy. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And then YouTube is just shy of 2 billion. YouTube is, it didn't start off this way, but YouTube has become a thing. It is a thing, and in youth ministry, it's especially a thing. The kids love youth ministry. They love YouTube. They absolutely love it. And then Instagram is close third. Instagram is huge, especially among the younger people. Now, if you see this chart, like this is the number of app hours for these particular apps by age group. And you can see that these are the app hours by month. So you have your 18 to 24s, and you can see how as the older you get, the less and less people are using it. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. You see, what we want to do is that we want to say, okay, what can we target that is for our community? What kind of media reach is going to work for our community? For some people that live in, say, a retirement community, you may not want to be on TikTok, right? You know, I'm just saying, like, that may not be your best strategy. You know, you want to see what ministry God has given you in your community, and then pray about, okay, what tools, Lord, do you want me to use so that I can be effective there? Here's a couple other things just in terms of screen time, and this is Gen X and Boomer data, and you can see the spread that it's approximately in 2018, so it's a couple years old, that there's been 11 hours per day of media consumption. 11 hours per day. For the teenager, it's 8 hours a day on their phone, just on their phone alone. And what we want to do is that we want to reach them where they're at, as we want to reach them where they're at. And if you look at what people are doing, so like not just the apps that they use, but what are they doing? Like every single, and there's more age groups that I didn't have time to put in here, but every age group you can see it's watching videos, watching videos, watching videos. And this is what's really cool, especially if you have a teaching ministry, is that you can be able to say, hey, like we got stuff on YouTube, you can watch it. You can watch it, and we can get into more YouTube stuff in a minute. Now, this is the biggest thing, right? The gear is too expensive, right? I can't afford it. But here on the next slide, I'm going to give you the top 10 free things you need in your media toolkit. All of these things are free. These cost nothing. First one is Canva. It's like online Photoshop. If you get your IRS letter from as a nonprofit and submit it to Canva, they will waive the monthly fee for you. It's like online Photoshop. We use this all the time. Like Danny, raise your hand, our social media guy. Danny uses this all the time. We use this all the time because Photoshop, you know, it's great and it's awesome, but Canva has templates built in, has all these different things and all these designs already done. You could literally just sit down and just plug in your own information and then you're done. It's really, really easy. It's really, really simple. Next one is GarageBand or for the Mac or Audacity for the PC. And this is how you can edit your podcasts and your teachings. GarageBand comes with the Mac. Audacity can download for free on your PC. Next one is a YouTube channel. You know how we just had those stats about how many kids are and how many people watch YouTube across the generations? It's free, which is crazy to me. We don't pay for any server space and they just let us do it, right? It's crazy. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, there's others. But those are all free and you can use those to connect, to encourage, and to notify people. Google for nonprofits. This is really cool. Again, if you have your nonprofit letter, you can get the Google Suite for free. I think it's up to 25 users. But if you have your own domain, you can hook it into Google and they'll give you 15 gigs of Google Drive space for free. It's all for free. It's really, really cool. Next one is MailChimp. You can use this for your online bulletin. You can have up to 2,000 subscribers for free, and it has templates and everything in there as well. Next one is Kahoot!. This is an online competition game, which I don't know, depending on, again, your context, this may work for your people, it may not, you can literally like real time, like vote on stuff, do stuff, send out prizes. That's maybe more of a youth thing, I'm sorry, but it's really fun. Next one is free stock photography sites. There's unsplash.com and thestocks.im. For those of you that don't know, you can actually get into some serious trouble if you just Google an image and then you use it on your Instagram or you use it on your Facebook if it's not licensed for you to use. About 7 years ago, we got in trouble for that, where we Googled something, we're like, yeah, let's use this photo, and then we used it, and then somebody sent us an email and be like, that's my photo, you didn't pay for it. It was like, oh, right? So you wanna be able to use royalty-free stock photos. There's a ton of them in there. And there's also a ton of royalty-free stuff in Canva as well. There's other sites that you can pay for, but this is just for free. OpenLP, this is free ProPresenter. Whoa, this is really cool. So if you don't want to pay for ProPresenter, now it's obviously not as robust as ProPresenter, but it is free. So if you need it to do it in a pinch, you can do that. And the next one is Amazon Smile. How many of you are familiar with Amazon Smile? So just a few of you. So Amazon will donate 0.5% of all shopping cart purchases that you make and that you send this link to everyone that makes, and they will do a direct deposit to your bank account. We do this for high school summer camp scholarships, and we get about $1,200 to $1,400 a year. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty slick. So that's actually, you get money for that, which is pretty slick. So those are the top 10 free things in your toolkit. Now, here are the top three low budget ideas for you guys. Number one, iPhone or smartphone lapel recording. This is only $100. This, and we actually are using this for all the breakout sessions. So I have a lapel mic, it's connected to my phone, and I'm using an app called Voice Record Pro app. It is absolutely free. The lapel mic is $60 to get a good one. You can even go cheaper, like you can even go $20 on Amazon. And then if you have an iPhone that needs a lightning adapter, it's $10. So under $100, you can record all your audio teachings. And then you can get them on a podcast, and you can get them on your website, you can get them on your wherever you want to publish them. The next one is your vlogging setup. What you want to do is that you want to be able to use as much of the existing technology that you already have. Now, I wish I could show you all of this, but I'm using my phone to record. But this is a vlogging setup, and I have a case with the phone, and there's a wide-angle lens. For you iPhone 11 users, this doesn't mean anything. Oh, hey, look at you. All right. Somebody knows about moment lenses. So this is really cool. You can vlog with your phone, and this is really good for just doing announcements, sending out a quick Instagram deal or anything like that. So it's really cool. So it just slides in here. Whoops, this is not my phone, so it's a little different. There we go. So it just slides in right here, and there's got the lens right here. You stick this in here like so. Sorry, I'm reading your text messages. Because they're still up. Anybody want me to text? So yeah. So you just stick it in your holder here. And what's really cool about this is that you can literally, you plug this into your phone for your audio. This is a shotgun mic. It has great audio, and you can just literally hold it out and you'll be able to film yourself or film other people. And the wide angle lens really helps you with that. That's only $300. And you'll be able to get off and running for vlogging. That's a really big deal, especially for Instagram stories and all those different kinds of things. It's really helpful, especially if you want to start doing video type announcements. You don't have to get like a whole studio. Like, you can just get this, and it's a great start. It's a great start for you guys to do that as well. And then the last one is stage design. So this stage design that we had here, this only cost maybe, after all materials, maybe $500, which is, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's really not. So that's all the LED tape lights, that's all the controllers, that's all the power, that's all the wiring, that's everything. That's absolutely everything. It's a really big stage design, but in a smaller church, you could easily do it for $300. So there's all these different kinds of DIY kind of things. If you just Google church stage design, there's a lot of websites out there that give you the whole parts list at the same time. They give you the plans, they give you the parts list. It's really, really easy and fun stuff. Now, recruiting volunteers and keeping them, it's really big. Food, right? Food is really, hey, like fellowship, food, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. Training. We have a big thing at Calvary Tucson where somebody says, hey, I don't know how to do any media. And our response is, don't worry, we will train you. And we don't just throw you in and it's a sink or swim kind of a thing, but you train them. You buddy them up with somebody and you train them, and so that they feel comfortable, and then you keep on going from there. And then with that comes some discipleship. When we're shoulder to shoulder, there's a lot of discipleship that occurs. And so don't forget that discipleship moment. Even when things are crazy and the whole media department is on fire, sometimes the best discipleship moments come from those moments, and when you can minister to people that you're working with. And then the last one is integration with worship teams. I view the sound man as part of the worship team. They are the hidden worship team member. And it's really important because you could have the best vocalist, the best musician in the entire world, but if the sound guy is not in sync with them, that it won't come across. It won't translate. And so it's really important to integrate with worship teams. So whether it's team building in that respect, whether it's doing your meetings together, as many of those things that you can do, that's what we like to do. Sean, our worship leader, he's actually across the way. Sean, he does a Devo with the whole worship team and the media team combined. And it's really good. It sets the tone. It really does set the tone for the entire night or the services. So here's some quick helpful media strategies for church. Media ministry exists to serve the church, not the other way around. And I think you want to make it easy for people to work with you because we're servants, right? We want to serve people. We're here to help people. We want to have that servant's heart. Understand the ministry needs and then provide the tech solutions. As a techie, and I can speak to this because I'm a nerd, so As techies, we can have all these cool things and all these, like, look at this gadget, look at this cool thing, but it is completely useless in terms of practical application. So what we want to do is that we want to understand the actual need and then meet the need. We want to meet the need of where it's at. It might be a cool idea, but it's completely unusable. It's completely not user-friendly, and you want to have those things in mind. Next one, let the younger generations have creative control. This is really, as I get older, and some of you look at me like, you're a baby, like, what are you talking about? But no, seriously, I need to rely on the younger generation to tell me what is in, because I don't know what's in so much anymore. I need to rely on them to give me that creative insight to things. Now, as leaders, we want to have the spiritual and the content oversight, but in terms of how it looks, this is a great way to get teenagers and college students and 20-something-year-olds involved in ministry, is to let them have creative control, to let them do how it looks. Like, how does it look and does it make sense? Quality versus quantity, it's better to do one or two things well than 10 things just meh, okay. You want to do things well. You build the infrastructure as God provides it and as God provides those funds. Next one, utilize the devices you already own. Your iPhone, your iPad, your computer, your laptop, those things are your biggest assets for multipurpose, because those things that were under $300, the top three ideas, we're using the iPhone, you're using the iPad, you're using the other computers. That's what you're doing to make it work. So it's really, really cool. Next one, and I've learned this the hard way, save and buy the right thing. Don't buy something you will later regret. Perfect example of this is you buy this microphone and it's a lapel mic. Lapel mics are horrible when it comes to EQing in the room and feedback control and everything else. You just need to save your money and buy the right thing. You really do. Because you don't want to buy something that's $200 that doesn't work, because then you've just thrown away $200. You want to save and buy the right thing. So be patient, save, it'll be good. Keep it simple. Again, most churches, and we are this way too, we are volunteer driven. As shocking as that sounds, our senior pastor, Robert Furrow, he wants the church to be volunteer driven. On the conference, we are blessed to have 37 media people on deck, which is awesome. Like, that is huge, huge blessing. But because a lot of us are volunteer driven, we want to keep the operation of the tech as simple as possible so that you can attract more volunteers. You want to keep it as simple as you possibly can. There are some positions that's not the case. Like, I think sound is one of those things where you want to have the right training. There are some things you can do to make it simple, but sound is one of those things. But pro presenter, don't overcomplicate pro presenter. You know, just make it as simple as you possibly can. Live streaming, make it as simple as you possibly can. Yes, we could make a live stream setup that was only $100, but the amount of buttons you have to click through and the steps that you have to do to get it to live stream, it's just, right? It's not going to work. You basically it's one step away from writing code in order to live stream. You don't want those solutions, right? You want simple solutions. Next one is have fun. even when things break. Satan is known as the prince of the power of the air, which includes Wi-Fi, which includes wireless mics, which, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to pray and have fun, right? Recognize there's a spiritual component to this. There is a total spiritual component to what we do. And it's really, don't forget, have fun. When things break, it could be a spiritual reason or not, but pray. Next, and this is something I just learned recently, the nudge in communication versus the newsletter. The average attention span of anybody now is 4 seconds. So when you write out your online bulletin, and it's probably at least a couple pages long, I guarantee, I know this sounds really sad, and I don't mean to be discouraging. Like, I'll show you a different way to do it. Nobody's reading it. I love y'all. Like, I love y'all, you know, but nobody's reading it. So here's how you do it. You can do text reminder notifications. You can do Facebook posts or Instagram posts, and it's the nudge. Be like, hey, check out our online bulletin. Then they tap or they click. It's the nudge versus the newsletter. So nudge people towards something that you want them to see. Don't give them the newsletter. Nudge versus newsletter. That's actually been really, really productive for us. Here's some resources, and we're almost done with the presentation side. There's an online training video series that I've put. Again, this is in your presentation. You can get online. There's about 10 or 12 videos here, and it covers everything from gain staging to EQ to room treatment to compression. It covers all those different things. So if you want just, hey, I don't know anything about sound, this is a great resource for you just to get your feet wet and say, oh, that's what those things are, and that's what this does. So that's really cool. Another cool podcast is called the Future Church Podcast. They are up to about 130 episodes so far, and they're short 5 to 7 minute episodes. And they just talk about anything media related, like how does media, you know, affect the church, and there's this new thing that came out, and what are we doing, and different strategies. It's super cool. Facebook group, Church Production Gear Traders on Facebook. Actually, Trevor pointed me. Trevor, raise your hand. He's one of our media guys who moved to Colorado, which I'm not happy about, but Lord bless him. So he's here for the conference. He's awesome. But you can look on Facebook and get gear. I'm a huge fan of used gear. If it's in good condition, I'm a huge fan of used gear. You can save a lot of money by finding some used stuff. And then also Pro Church Media Community on Facebook and CRTV Church on Instagram. Those are some really good resources and different things going there. Again, this presentation is available here, calvarytucson.com/breakouts. And now I will hopefully be able to answer your questions. Sometimes I don't know, and that's okay because I'm human. So any questions? Any questions? Yeah. Well, let's see. I think I have a slide. I have a slide for this. He wants to know, what's your equipment list for a successful live stream? So I can get you the equipment list. I'll actually add it to the presentation so you guys can have it. It's the equipment list we have. Unfortunately, probably I wouldn't recommend it because it's being phased out in terms of maturity. But I'll give you some recommendations. Here's how to have a successful live stream. Wired connection. Do not, and I repeat, do not use Wi-Fi for your live stream. Do not do it. Because it's Satan, right? Because it's Satan, all right? Do not do it. Next is the appliance approach versus the computer approach. How many of you stream using a computer? Raise your hand just out of curiosity. So a few of you. I'm assuming you're using something called OBS or vMix or something along those lines. What we use is that we have a little appliance. It's a little Linux box. It's red, and it's through a service called livestream.com, which just got bought out by Vimeo. And it literally is just, it's got one function. It's got a couple of buttons. You go to your event and you hit stream. See what I'm saying? Like, that's the simplicity angle. Like, you want it to be simple. You want it to just work. And I would say it's worked like 99% of the time. It's just worked. If it hasn't worked, it's usually, honestly, live streams issue with their servers or whatnot. Next one is stable internet. Now, this is where we're gonna get into some technical terms, especially if you IT network guys, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you want questions about this, We can talk a little bit after. But depending on your city, Tucson is notoriously poor at infrastructure for internet. A place like Atlanta is actually really good, but in Tucson, it's horrible. So this facility is on fiber internet. And we have a radio station running on the fiber. We have our live streaming running on the fiber. All the Wi-Fi spots, they're all connected to that brain. But you want to be able to have in the contract, which is your service level agreement, your SLA, you want to have your latency and your jitter and your uptime requirements. Because this is what's going to happen. Most internet companies, when you say, hey, the internet's down, they'll say, well, we're doing our best. And that's what's called a best effort product. And they really are doing their best, which is nothing, right? Before we got fiber, we were on the junction point right behind here, and there were over 700 people on this junction point, and we were just one of 700 customers. And so when our live stream would go down, there's nothing they can do. The junction's full. There's nothing that they can do. So what you want stable internet. Again, this depends on your city. If you're in a city with really solid infrastructure, you may not need this, and it'll be fine. But if you're in a city that doesn't have good infrastructure, you want this. You want this for sure. And unfortunately, I hate to break it to you, this is going to cost some money. This is going to cost some money. But the downer of having your live stream go down is that 90% of people never return. If it cuts out, they're like, I'm out. They're like, I'm out. Yeah. So what he was saying was is that in terms of just the performance, and it's not just about speed, it's about the quality of the line. It's not just about speed, it's about the quality. So they'll say, well, you have gigabit speeds. Yeah, you'll have gigabit speed for 0.1 seconds. But that doesn't help you with live stream that requires a constant upload. So that's something to be aware of. Consistency, again, we talked about that. Good image, good lighting. Lighting is so important when it comes to video. You can have a so-so camera, but if your lighting is good, it will look good. A church that we do a lot of stuff with, Pantano Christian Church down the street, they're a non-denominational church. Their cameras aren't as good as our cameras in terms of like the quality and the resolution, but their lighting is absolutely phenomenal. And it looks amazing. It absolutely looks incredible. So again, like if you don't have a great camera, it's okay. Focus on lighting. Focus on getting that lighting really dialed in. So again, in terms of the equipment list, I'll add an equipment list of, you know, just some, here's some suggestions for different pieces of equipment. To have a successful live stream, I would say, like if you're doing a one camera setup, you're looking at, so I'll just tell you how much ours cost so that it's reliable. In terms of the live stream, we pay $70 a month for our live stream service, and then our appliance box cost $500, but we've had it for 2 years now, 2.5 years, going on 2.5 years, and it's been awesome. Yes?
How many platforms can
you? So the question was, how many platforms can we stream? So we can stream to our website and Facebook. You can also stream to YouTube, but not at the same time as Facebook. That's a Facebook thing. So what we do is that because our page is really good, like we have really good traction on our page, but not so much on our YouTube channel yet, we stream to Facebook and the website at the same time. So you can do multiple points. Question?
You said your appliance box was purchased by Vimeo?
The question was the appliance box was purchased by Vimeo. The service, livestream.com, has been purchased by Vimeo. They're working on the question was, are they working on that? The answer is yes. So far we still works and we've been grandfathered in, but it's been working absolutely fantastic thus far. Yes, question over here.
Can you comment on good lighting? Because you said what you just mentioned was
sure.
Good lighting. What does that look like? What are the components of
sure. So the question was, what is good lighting? The good lighting is going to have really solid front wash and then backlight to get the hair, the head, and the shoulders. So you want that two-dimensional to pop. And so a lot of churches are in low light situations. And so what you want to do is that you want to have a lot of light. You want to have a lot of light so that the camera doesn't have to do all the work in a dark light situation. And that's where you can get, you know, that's where you can get some really good images. So the key is solid front light. You don't want it to be harsh, so you can use diffusers on some of those gels if you're using regular incandescents. You can use LEDs, but again, I would still recommend getting some sort of diffuser paper. And you can Google that on Amazon, just diffuser gel paper, and that'll help soften it. It'll help soften it for the people's eyes on stage, and it also helps soften it for the video. And then having that backlight so that it pops you out of the background so you have two dimensions. So those are that's the simplest way. Question, yes? So I would say on eBay, if they don't offer a return policy, don't buy it, right? So the question was, how can you trust used equipment? On eBay, that's what I do. If they don't offer a return policy, I just, nope, not interested. It doesn't matter if it's like a fourth of the price. There's a reason that it's a fourth of the price, right? And so you typically, like good used deals, you're going to find it's going to be in the ballpark of 30 to 40% off. And that's sort of the ballpark of where in terms of pricing. So for eBay, that's one. I always like to look local, Craigslist, and weirdly enough, Facebook Marketplace, where you can actually go check out what they have. The Facebook group, the Church Production Traders, most churches don't jip you, right? Most guys are like, yeah, like this is what it is. But just ask questions like, what's wrong with it? Why are you getting rid of it? You know, like what's the story behind this piece of gear? So those are some good questions to ask for that question. Yeah.
Okay. We can't stream. We're meeting in school.
There are ways to cheat, which I don't recommend. I mean, you could write some bots and then get more subscribers, but that's cheating. And so it's really funny. I was taking a youth trip and when we started our YouTube channel for the youth group, which has been really fun for a lot of the students, we were playing with that idea because I was trained double E, like I could make this happen. Like I could get 10,000 subscribers tomorrow. Like we'll make this happen. But then, you know, like we were talking about it in the front, it was really funny. And the kids are like, I don't think that's being honorable, Scott. You know how your students rebuke you. I was like, you're right. I shouldn't do it. The way to garner that is to, with your existing communications channels, whether it's bulletins, whether it's your existing social media feeds, direct them to subscribe to your YouTube channel. You want them to subscribe to your YouTube channel so that's regular content. The cool thing about church is that we have service every week. And so there's regular content, and YouTube loves regular uploads. Like the algorithm loves regular uploads. So I would say direct as many people as you can to subscribe and then let it continue to grow and build from there. My cousin, just to give you some perspective, really cool story. My cousin, Stephen Miller, who's a worship leader in Texas, he became YouTube famous, but only in the last couple of years. For 5 years, he slugged it out. We're uploading all the time, uploading, you know, every week. And there came a point where he had he was good. It was like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 subscribers, but it wasn't like crazy good, but it was amazing. And he thought, well, maybe I should just stop this. It's a lot of work. Maybe I should stop doing this. And he's like prayed about it. He's like, no, I think I'm just going to keep going. I just think I'm going to keep going. Now he has around 400,000 subscribers because the YouTube algorithm picked him up because he had 5 years of content and it was consistent. And so when YouTube started recommending his videos on people's search feeds, that's when it took off. Again, like, you know, really look at your context. So again, I recommend people subscribe, put it all on your social media, even announce it from the church. Be like, subscribe to our YouTube channel, share it with friends. You know, that grassroots kind of a feel. YouTube is really, the cool thing about YouTube is very grassroots to start. And it can be really fun that way. Yes.
And in regards to YouTube, what's happening?
So the question is, you're concerned about the new terms and conditions in regards to censorship for YouTube?
Right.
So I like to think of it this way. If we get shut down, then we're being persecuted for the church, you know, for the cause of Christ. Praise God, right? At the same time, you want to be wise about, you know, how you use YouTube. And I'm not saying alter your content. What I'm saying is don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you are relying on YouTube as your repository for all your teachings, I would not recommend that. I would recommend that you have another way to store all your teachings, whether it's a Amazon server, which is honestly very, very cheap. You can do it that way. I always like, in terms of redundancy, there's the rule of three. So have it in three places. If YouTube's one of those places, that's great. But if it's YouTube, and if it's a physical hard drive, and then if it's Amazon, you're pretty good that you're not going to lose it. But in terms of the YouTube censorship, I mean, to me, like Facebook went through a phase like that. I was like, you know what? Like, if they start banning the gospel on social media, I was like, you know what? Bring it on. Like, you know, like, that's fine. Like, we'll figure it out. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't worry about it too much in terms of if you get shut down. In terms of logistical stuff, like using copyrighted music and other things like that, I mean, those are things that we as Christians want to be respectful of the rules and the laws in place in terms of the law of the land and submit to government in that way. So you want to use royalty-free music. One thing you want to watch out for, especially on YouTube live stream, and this has happened to us, which is why we don't stream on YouTube, by the way, is we use a lot of backing tracks in our worship music, and YouTube will pick up the backing tracks and think it's the song, and then they will hit you. And it's just a bot. Like, it's not an actual person. It's just a bot that says, you can't stream this. It is copyrighted music. Even though you have CCLI, and even though you've bought the track, and even though you have the broadcasting license for the backing track, that's why we don't do YouTube. Just to let you know. Here and then here. The question was, what can YouTube do that Vimeo can't? I think, honestly, they're pretty much the same. It's just a question of reach. Vimeo is more of a posh, more polished type of YouTube. YouTube is just blah. It's just everything, right? But Vimeo is more for professional creators and designers and things like that. A friend of mine, Adam Parsons, who's a senior pastor at Reach Orlando, he uses Vimeo to upload all his teachings simply because Vimeo has some API, which for those of you that don't know API, it's connections to other services that are maybe handier, that work for you better than YouTube perhaps. But honestly, they do the same thing. In practice, they do the same thing. Good question. Yes, over here. Right, so the question was for, the reason I'm repeating questions is so that people can hear it on the breakout in case you were like, what are you doing? So that's what it's for. The question was, what's all the different filter options in terms of licensing for photos you search for on Google? So I typically don't like to use Google for those things. If you do use Google, you want to do, I forget the exact phrase, but it's definitely like non-commercial for reuse. So that means you're reusing it for something else. I typically like to go to Canva. I like to go to the stocks.im. I like to go to those other free stock libraries because you know they're royalty free. You know you can just use them and it's fine. And honestly, you know, stock photos are cool, but don't underestimate your own photos too, you know. There's other cool ways to do that. You know, especially with iPhone 11 is crazy now. I mean, it takes better pictures than my old D7100 DSLR sometimes, depending on the situation. It's kind of crazy. So then we got him. Was there another one over here? Yes, sir.
I was just going to comment on the, you mentioned YouTube, you know, crashing your stream or at least flagging you for it. That kind of, Facebook does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like during our meet and greet, we'll have pre-recorded stuff running, you know, background
right.
music. And yeah, it's not uncommon. The bots scan your stuff, same mm-hmm. thing. Doesn't matter about your licensing or whatever. And so typically within a few minutes after a service, I get a notification that says, hey, you have, you know,
right.
license protected content in your, fix it or take it down. And so
right.
usually within a half an hour of our stream, I'll go in and re-edit those videos and just leave them out there. So I'll crop that stuff out.
And I think too, so one thing that we did to fix that, because we've got bit by that as well, is we actually, for the pre-recorded service music, we have a different feed on the soundboard going upstairs than what's going to the house. So he can play the music all day long in the house, but it literally cannot get up to the media room. So we've split that signal off and so that, you know, so it doesn't get up there. And so you can do, there's several different ways you can do that depending on your mixer board. Aux sends is one of them for those of you that have smaller mixers. So you just put all your aux sends at Unity, and then for the pre-service music channel, your iPhone channel, just turn it down and be like, you're done. And that's really good. You in the back here, question, yes.
Can you address using IT environment in co-laboring with media so that they understand there's some there's some cohabitation that has to happen with the geeky guys that are standing in the background that are saying, well, you really, you're saturating the network. And I know this is a, that's a kind of a technical thing, but it, from the standpoint of being in IT and trying to help co-labor with them to help them to understand that, that, that IT doesn't necessarily have to cost money, but there's definitely investment that has to happen in that back end.
And I think, you know, I mean, we view the IT network guys as the same team.
Right.
Like, we're all the same team. And I think, you know, so the question was, like speak to IT networking interfacing with media team. To me, they're the same team. Because in order for live streaming to actually happen, you need network support. Like, it has to happen. Like, live, like you can have million-dollar cameras, but it's not getting out unless you have the network support in place. Conversely, if there was no content, then networking would have nothing to stream. So, you know, it's like that we work together on those different things. In terms of needs, you know, it's really being able to communicate and say, this is the goal, this is what we need to do, and then always providing a little buffer for what we need to do. Because you don't want to design for where you're at. You want to design for growth. Like, if you're going to spend some money, like, design it for just a little bit more than what you think you're going to need it for. Because I can't tell you how many times that has happened over and over again where we design for growth, and literally, sometimes it's even weeks later where we use it. And we're like, wow, I'm glad we did that. So, but yeah, it's really good. There was another question over here. So the question was, editing software, what do you use? Are you referring to audio or video?
Both.
So I would, if you have a Mac, which by the way, I know I'm going to offend a lot of people here, but I'm just saying, Mac is built for media. I'm just saying, like, it is built to do media. It is built to handle media. It is, I'm telling you, like, we've thrown in terms of, you know, ProPresenter stuff, you know, we can throw like a cheap Mac and it will run circles around PCs. And honestly, that is not the PC's fault. It's honestly Windows' fault is really the issue. And so, it's not the machine's fault. It's the operating system. So again, PC is really good for a lot of different things, but I highly recommend Mac because with the Mac, you get things, you can get things like iMovie, which is cheap. You can get things like GarageBand, which I use GarageBand. Like, I have Cubase for like studio stuff, but if I need to do something at pinch, I will use GarageBand because it's easy, it's fast. And you don't have to, you have all these templates on all these different things. So we use Premiere a lot, you know, with our editing, and that costs a subscription. If you're not already signed up with TechSoup, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but TechSoup.org, they offer a lot of nonprofit discounts. So we pay, I think for the first year, you can get the whole Adobe suite for $20 a month instead of the $30 or $32 a month. So it helps, you know, it helps. But you get two seats with that, which means technically you can have it on two computers, which means two people in case you're interested. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's ways to make it stretch, you know.
VMix is also free if you apply for one of their church licenses.
Right, and VMix is also, the question was, or statement was, VMix is also free. So I would recommend, you know, if you're doing simple stuff, you know, iMovie is really easy if you're Mac-based. PC-based, I'm trying to remember, there's a PC version of some free editors. There's a lot of free editors. I would just Google.
Affinity.
Yeah, Affinity. Thank you. Affinity is a really good one. So any other questions? This is a really good discussion. You guys are awesome. Yeah. So the question was, gentleman setting up an overflow room, and he's wanting to get video feeds over to that room. And you're referring to program? Are you doing lower thirds for your worship lyrics, or are you doing full screen worship lyrics? Okay. So he's doing full screen.
Right now I'm just doing ProPresenter words on the screen. I'm not recording anything, but I'm gonna put in a camera and run that feed out. But then I got the words.
So a couple of things. This is a really good scenario. Question for you. Are you planning on having screens in the sanctuary presenting those things?
Yes.
Okay. So there is a fancy little word called latency. So let me know what I'm talking about. It happens out here, right? Latency, or the delay that the image goes into the camera, goes through the cable, goes into your switcher or whatever else it goes through, and then goes back out the switcher and goes to your projectors. There's a latency with that. There's a delay. This delay is currently at, what is it at currently, Manny? Like 70, 80 milliseconds? Yeah, 120 or something like that. There's a reason for that. It's because these are old projectors and we're doing some conversion in terms of formats, which is another delay that's happening. If you're doing IMAG, so these screens are called IMAG. If you're doing IMAG, you unfortunately can't do most software solutions like vMix to put your lower thirds on your video. And the reason is because the latency is going to kill you. I mean, the pastor is literally going to do this, and then it's literally going to look like this. This, and then on the screen, this. It is going to be so annoying on so many levels, like you don't even want to attempt it. Now, in your overflow room, if it is completely isolated and completely separated from your IMAG viewing experience, no problem, because delay is no longer an issue because you can't see them on the stage. But if you are in a situation where you need that short delay, hardware solutions is your answer. Blackmagic just released a few months ago a $300 video mixer, and it's the itty bitty thing. It's like this big, four inputs, HDMI. It's really cheap, $300, and that'll get you where you need to go. Everything runs into that box. Yep.
Okay.
Question.
PowerPoint.
So the question was, how do you go back and forth between a presenter, or excuse me, a PowerPoint presentation, and then back to your camera? The answer is you need a switcher. So it's an actual video mixer that you need. So you have your camera input coming into like channel one, and then you have your PowerPoint coming into channel two, and then you switch it live back and forth. And actually, I think, you know, I didn't really plan on this, but if after this is over, Trevor, Manny, Danny, Carol, if you guys are interested in taking a tour up here, because the media room is right over here with the production room. So, yeah. But, yeah, small groups. Yeah. So, yeah, not all of us. We will not all fit in there. It'd be like, okay, this is that. So. But if after this, Manny, Danny, Trevor, Carol, raise your hand, please. So those guys, if you guys, after this session is over, if you want to take a quick tour, like we could break up into smaller groups and they can take you through the room and you can see the switcher and you can see all those different things that occur. Again, the switcher, you want it to be hardware based. If you're not doing IMAG, which is the projector screens, you can use vMix, you can use all those, you can use OBS even. You can use all those different things because delay is not an issue. It really isn't. You can just go.
Will
question.
You, when you do the equipment list, will you have a picture of a part number or some sort of SKU number for that Linux box?
I'll just put links. So if you notice that a lot of these things are hyperlinked,
right.
So I'll just put links. So you just click on it and it goes to where it needs to go. Make it easy for y'all. It's simple. You got to make it simple, right? Got to make it simple. These are great questions. Any other questions? Yes. Sure. So the question was, what are some good in-ear monitor solutions that where you don't have a whole wireless rig with paddles and all that fancy stuff? So we actually have some wireless in-ears for the front line, but we use these little headphone amp boxes, the little Rolls boxes, and they're a headphone amplifier and they're wired. So they're not wireless, but they're wired. They're $50. And you can literally like just have an extension cable go into your in-ear. There's a volume control on it. That's one solution. Another solution, if you want to get fancier, is to get an 8-channel headphone amplifier. And so you have 8 inputs, that's a rack version, and then you run those extension cables through the stage and then up to a person. So that's literally right there as opposed to having a box on stage. So you could put the rack under the stage and then run up the wires and then do it that way. So that's another, those are some cheap solutions, and those headphone amplifiers are a couple $100.
Can we do the same
thing? Sure.
Like a laundry list?
Sure, yeah.
There was also an iPhone app for the in-ears. I know you were testing it out.
So Trevor brought up there the iPhone app in-ear monitor solution. I have played with that, but again, it failed the simple test. And here's why. I got a crazy fast 5 gig, network router that we had somewhere else. I yanked it, tried to run this app that requires a MacBook computer running into a digital board. And then you get the channels on your phone. And so you literally plug your headphones into the phone, and then you can have, quote, wireless in-ears. But again, as we've learned before, Satan is in the Wi-Fi. And so the product is just not mature enough. Like, I think it'll get there eventually, but that's another, I forgot to put that in there. You always want to buy version 2.0, not 1.0. So ProPresenter 7 just came out. Don't buy it. Like, wait 6 months, let them roll out all the updates, and then once there's some stability, and then buy it. And then it'll be good. It'll be good. Yeah, always buy version 2.0. Never buy version 1.0. That's bad, 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 bad. Yes, it's true about cars. We're almost out of time, so I'll just take one more question. Yes, sir. I highly doubt it. So the question was, can you do OpenLP and use ProPresenter files back and forth? And the answer is, I doubt it.
No.
I highly doubt it.
You can import the song database from like Easy Worship and ProPresenter, but you can't switch between the like playlists and stuff.
Right, right. So it really is. I mean, that's the thing with free. Like there's a time cost element with free, right? So yes, it's free, but you're gonna spend, no joke, you're gonna spend 3 to 4 hours a week setting the thing up, as opposed to maybe only 20 minutes setting it up with ProPresenter. And you know,
they're getting ready, so they've been on like version 2.6 for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to release version 3.0.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be a huge major update for OpenLP.
Yeah. So it's good stuff. Yes, sir.
I was just going to offer Proclaim that's done by Faith Life. Just
yeah.
Like logos and everything else is very similar to ProPresenter, and it's affordable, and it's got the built-in CCLI.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good alternative as well.
So he also, gentleman here in the front said, Proclaim is also another option. Yeah. Any more questions? Any more questions at all? I am more than happy to hang out and just answer any questions that you guys have on a more detailed level. Again, I'm around, like, you know, I'm around the conference. So if you have any other questions, just, hey, you know, or you can always find one of these guys with intercoms and be like, where's Scott? You know, they'll track me down. Again, like, you guys are really awesome. The fact that you want to use technology for the furtherance of the gospel is just be encouraged. Just be encouraged, because we want to use every tool available to reach people that don't know Jesus. We want to use every tool available to encourage the church. And that's really important, because we are the church. It's like, I always liken people that don't want to use technology. Technology is not in itself bad. If people use technology, the people are bad. Like, that's the issue, right? The people are bad. It's the people that design it to be addictive. That's what's bad, right? So you want to be able to use technology to your advantage. It's no different, that's just my personal opinion. It's no different, like, pooing on technology is no different than the scribes and the priests in the 15th century when the Protestant Reformation just broke and said, well, that we scribes have to and priests have to be able to copy the Bible. We can't use the printing press because it's not as holy. Right? And that's what they said. It's not as holy unless a priest's hand touches it. And that's silly, right? That's silly. You know, if you want a paper Bible for nostalgic reasons, totally get it. Like, I like that. It's like, but it's not necessarily better, right? It's better because your focus is there, right? That's what's better about it. But it's just physical. It's just physical stuff. With all that said, I think that's it. I'm more than happy to hang out. Let me pray for you guys. And we'll get going. Father, we thank you for every single person here. I pray that you would bless them, that you would inspire them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that this was helpful and encouraging. Maybe they walked away with some additional tools, some additional ideas. Lord, I pray that you would use them. Lord, we want to be your servants. I pray just a special blessing that you would lead and guide them as they minister to their congregations and their communities. And Lord, that you would make them effective servants. Lord, that we've been entrusted with a lot. And I pray that we would be those good servants, the five talent, the two talent servants, Father, that we would make good use of what we have been given. And Lord, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.